This is Eileen Javier, and I am here today with two special people, Brenda Miller and Steve Pierce. For 15 years, Brenda Miller and Steve Pierce have hosted art performances, film screenings, and arts education trainings, providing education in social and environmental justice at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, always engaging the community through different initiatives. The Hudson Mohawk Magazine is one of those initiatives. Monday through Friday, we bring local news to you in the evenings and in the mornings. And the people that made it possible are these two people right here. I know they might get mad at me because I'm putting them on the spot, but I wanted to tell you who are these special guests that I have right here with me. Welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, Brenda Miller and Steve Pierce. How are you?
Hello.
So far, so good.
For people that might not know, what is the Sanctuary for Independent Media? It's an old church, but it was repurposed into a telecommunications production facility. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of different things. It's different things to different people. As you mentioned, it's an old church. That's why we call it the sanctuary. But instead of it being a sanctuary for organized religion, it's a sanctuary for independent media. And the goal is to present all different kinds of points of view and stories and music and film and culture. And the longer we've been here, the more we've gotten into more community organizing, and we're getting ready to open an environmental education center. So it's a lot of different things based in North Central Troy.
And why you chose Troy?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. People are doing things like this all around the world. It's a little different everywhere you go based on what the resources are that people have. We're out of a movement called the Indie Media Movement, which was very popular, successful in the early 2000s as an outgrowth of the movement against corporate globalization. Kind of started with the battle for Seattle, the protests against the WTO there, but it was built on decades of organizing around community-based radio and community journalism and public access television. We chose Troy because, well, we were in Troy and we wanted to do something close to home. And we chose North Troy. We actually originally were meeting at the YWCA in downtown Troy and had met in other places and ended up in North Troy because a friend of ours owned the building that we're in now. And he thought it'd be a perfect place for us. And we went there and started doing our work there. And after doing that for a little while, we agreed and ended up buying the building from him. And now we have a pretty long-term commitment to North Troy.
Okay. We were a group of probably between 12 and 30 individuals at any given time who were all deeply dedicated to independent media. And we would gather and we would work on anti-war videos and media, creating media that would give independent voice to people who are least represented in the media. So that was the group of people, a collective group, who then went from our place at the YWCA and moved into North Troy, where we felt maybe there's a need for more than just producing independent media. Maybe a place where you could come to see all kinds of independent art and cultural activities. Maybe that is really needed too. And from that, the Sanctuary for Independent Media grew.
How the different initiatives came along? What came in first?
Well, we started just wanting a place to work. The Hudson Mohawk Independent Media Center, which was the roots of the Sanctuary for Independent Media, part of the Indie Media Movement. We were doing a lot of production around, mostly video production, around the anti-corporate globalization movement. And when it really got to be big was in the run-up to the Gulf War. And there was a lot of misinformation and propaganda in the corporate media and even on national public radio and public media about the build-up to war. And so we, as a group, were committed to putting out a different narrative about the rush to war. And we put out a number of videos, and particularly one, Independent Media in a Time of War, which was a documentary about Amy Goodman's speech on the subject. Got a national and international audience. And we were able to sell copies of the DVDs that we made. And with the money, we needed to find a new place to work because of changes at the YWCA. And so we ended up moving to the Sanctuary for Independent Media. That's what we ended up calling calling it. It was a place that we needed as a workspace to put our editing equipment. And we thought we would just use the upstairs of the space for events and things to help raise money to pay the rent. And we had editing facilities downstairs. And so we really started out as a presenting space. We showed movies, we had music, we had speakers. And the idea was just to raise money to keep the organization going. And over time, it's evolved into many different things. And Brandon has been a driver of a lot of them. So I'll let her talk about that.
Well, I remember there was one day where I was planting a shrub in front of the sanctuary. And I realized that as my hands were in the ground, everybody walking by talked to me and said, "Hi, how wonderful." And we started really connecting more and more to the block that we are in North Troy between Glen and 101st, which really was filled with abandoned buildings and empty lots. So we grew from our space in the sanctuary, our Nature Lab mission, which stands for North Troy Art, Technology, and Urban Research in Ecology. Many of us were and are still deeply dedicated to environmental issues and issues of striving for sustainability. And so this was an opportunity for us to connect as independent media makers with networks of community organizers who were all coming together to try to make North Troy, and a more positive environment to live in.
Okay, that's wonderful. And now you have the Color Greens, the Nature Lab, the radio station, and continue growing. I can't wait for the Nature Lab building to be ready so I do community outreach. Now, with the unprecedented times that we're living with COVID-19, what changes will you make to continue facilitating your workshops, the activities at the Sanctuary for Independent Media?
That's a real challenge. I'm gonna flip to Brandon to explain what we're going to be doing. But I want to say that one of the things that's kind of ironic is that we're about to celebrate our 15th anniversary in North Troy. And we've spent most of that time building physical spaces where people can get together and share. And as you say, in workshops, events, different kinds of things. So we built a lot of infrastructure. You mentioned the radio station. We have an online TV channel and lots of things on the web. But mostly what we were doing was in person. So COVID has created a challenge for us to pivot to do more of this stuff online. And Brenda's really the one who's been organizing that.
Well, I'd like to give attention first to the radio that everyone is listening to, Hudson Mohawk Magazine. And we feel really blessed to have had 2 years of the development of the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Little did we see when we started this how important it would be in the age of COVID. We were dedicated to our mission of reporting local voices, reporting on independent issues that face us in our community. But since COVID, the radio station and the producers like you have absolutely blossomed and taken our magazine to a higher level. Steve, how do you see that radio piece is so critical to us moving forward in the age of COVID?
Well, I'd say, first of all, it's not just radio. It's a kind of a more of a multimedia approach now where we're embracing the web as much as we can and getting out in podcasts and streaming. And but of course, one of the things that sets us apart, since a lot of people are doing that, we do have a broadcast too. You can listen to WOOC 105.3 FM in Albany and Troy, and also our programming is heard on other stations throughout the region. But the problem that we're confronted with is that because people can't meet, they're not able to get information that way. And when they're looking for information, it's hard to find from a source that is journalistic. And that's because of the collapse of the commercial media, which has been going on for a long time, really ever since the web. But even before that, there was corporate consolidation and other factors that made corporate media, mainstream media, less and less reliable and less local. Because when the corporate ownership looks to save money, they get rid of people, and the people they get rid of are the people who are local on the ground. So we saw years ago, there was a huge hole in the capital region media environment, as there is almost everywhere in this country, in local journalism. And so we thought, okay, we're going to fill that hole. We're going to train ourselves to be journalists, and we're going to go to where people are and where the stories are. And we're going to report. And so the COVID story is just, you know, the biggest story ever in that regard. But we remain committed to that goal. And the challenge for us is doing it in a in an environment where you can't meet with people personally. And I think we've done a great job of, not all of us have done a great job, learning the technology and figuring out how this can be done online and using online tools.
So we're going to continue working remotely. That's what you're saying. And then doing some other outlets of creative work to outreach and reach the people that are expecting for the Sanctuary for Independent Media to continue providing that work and that space, even if it's through this outlet for now.
Yes, we are working with students from Troy Prep doing radio production. We're doing science and arts education with students from Troy Middle School, all virtually. And we are shifting some of our events to virtual events, films. We're featuring our Health Autonomy Clinic, of which you've been also a vital part. Really trying to continue our mission in this time and strategizing every day how we can remain sustainable and a resource for this community and for our continued growth.
Okay. And where can people find information on all the initiatives? And also, if anybody would like to do an internship at the Sanctuary for Independent Media?
Well, folks can go to mediasanctuary.org and find all of that there. You might have to hunt around a little bit. We have a good search function on the website. But if you're interested in an internship, I think if you go to About Us or How to Get Involved, you can find out that. We have a lot of really great interns, and it's a great way to get involved and to get credit while you're doing it. And you'll find out about all the different initiatives. You'll find a link to our online stream of radio programming and also our video stream, and links to our large online collection of videos that goes back 15 years, hundreds of hours of videos. So lots to look at there. So MediaSanctuary.org.
Brendan Steves, when is the 15-year celebration?
It's this fall. I think it's in October. I'd have to look at this exact date. I know the first event that we had was a theater production called Marx in Soho, which we did two performances of, but we moved into the building and we're using it for our own purposes for, you know, a few weeks before that, cleaning it up and getting organized. So fall of 2020 is our 15th anniversary though.
Okay.
I remember it was leaking from the roof and people were sitting in the audience with umbrellas over their heads.
Yep. Well, we have to plan something. Definitely. We still have time. Hopefully everything changes and goes back to normal. Yes. Thank you so much for giving me the time today, and looking forward to seeing you again and giving you a hug. Okay. But for now, from my house and your house, here we are, WOOC 105.3 FM. Thank you, Brendan Steve, today.
Thank
Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.